Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice. A judge has ruled that President Trump's deployment of California's National Guard to Los Angeles amid civil unrest is illegal and unconstitutional, but an injunction to halt the use of the troops there has been stayed, pending an appellate court hearing next week, and we'll have details. San Diego leaders are speaking out against an immigration raid at a popular local restaurant where flashbang devices were deployed and several workers arrested. California Senator Alex Padilla was forcibly removed from a press conference while trying to ask questions about immigration enforcement of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, then forced to the ground and handcuffed by federal agents, sparking outrage from numerous political leaders. A No Kings protest against the Trump administration authoritarian tactics are being planned nationwide this Saturday, June 14th, in cities across the nation, and 11 rallies planned in San Diego County, including several East County locations. Get details on our show today. Governor Gavin Newsom has delivered a powerful speech warning that our democracy is at a crossroads, and we'll be airing it on our show today. We'll also have a health alert about a recall of brown eggs that have caused salmonella cases in several states, including California. Santee's City Council has approved the controversial Finita Ranch housing development, but an environmental leader says litigation is likely to challenge the project again. There is good news for local lake lovers after San Diego City Council voted to keep Lake Murray open 7 days a week, also removing many other proposed cuts from its budget, including cuts to libraries, rec centers, and other local lakes, though it remains to be seen whether the mayor will sign the budget. Art Madrid, who served as La Mesa's mayor for nearly a quarter of a century, has died at age 90. We'll have a look back at his life and legacy on our show today. On Green Scene, hear about an expansion of the Santa Isabel Preserve, and from California News Service, a report on growing controversy over lethal animal control tactics. A year after the passing of NBA superstar Bill Walton of La Mesa, hear about a legacy project established in his memory. And finally, as the weather heats up and outdoor barbecuing is a popular pastime, we'll have some grilling safety tips for you. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, where East County matters. In a blistering decision, U.S. District Court Judge Charles Breyer ordered control of California's National Guard be returned to the governor, though the judge stayed his order for a day to allow the Trump administration time to file for an emergency appeal, which it did. Now the state's appellate court has stayed Judge Breyer's order, pending the outcome of a hearing on Tuesday, June 13th, by a three-judge panel on the appellate court, which includes two Trump-appointed judges and one Biden appointee. Judge Breyer's order states that President Trump's ordering of thousands of California National Guard members to Los Angeles amid civil unrest over mass immigration enforcement was illegal, both exceeding the scope of his statutory authority and violating the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Judge Breyer rejected an argument by a Trump administration lawyer who had claimed courts do not have authority to review a president's decision on whether the National Guard is needed. "That's the difference between a constitutional government and King George," stated Judge Breyer, a Clinton appointee and brother of former Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. With peak wildfire season approaching, Judge Breyer noted that tying up thousands of California's National Guard members for 60 days, as ordered, would make them unavailable to fight wildfires or address other emergencies, such as the Guard members who helped San Diegans during last January's severe flooding. The protests have at times turned violent, with rocks thrown at ICE officers and several vehicles burned. However, Judge Breyer wrote that plaintiffs and citizens of Los Angeles face a greater harm from the continued unlawful militarization of their city, which not only inflames tensions with protesters, threatening increased hostilities and loss of life, but deprives the state for 2 months of its own use of thousands of National Guard members to fight fires, combat the fentanyl trade, and perform other critical functions. Defendants' actions also threaten to chill legitimate First Amendment expression, the judge wrote. At the hearing, Justice Department lawyer Brett Shumate argued that President Trump had no legal obligation to get approval from a governor before mobilizing the National Guard. There is one commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and when the president makes a decision, the states are subservient to the president's decision, Shumate contended, an argument rejected by Judge Breyer. The victory, if upheld, is a win for California Governor Gavin Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta, who filed the lawsuit against the Trump administration challenging Trump's deployment of California's National Guard, an action opposed by California's governor, as well as by Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass and the Los Angeles Police Chief. While rare, presidents have occasionally ordered National Guard troops into states without a governor's permission, such as to enforce a Supreme Court order to desegregate schools in the South after the state failed to do so. But Trump invoked a law that allows such an order only in cases of a rebellion or insurrection, which Judge Breyer held has not occurred in L.A., where protests have not risen to the level of protests or riots that Los Angeles and other major cities have seen at points in the past, he wrote. While acknowledging that the federal government does have an interest in protecting federal agents and federal property, Judge Breyer suggested such interests may be better served by demilitarization and a concurring de-escalation. Governor Newsom praised the decision on X, posting, "The court just confirmed what we all know. The military belongs on the battlefield, not on our city streets." He called on President Trump to end the unnecessary militarization of Los Angeles now, adding, "Refusing to do so will only confirm your authoritarian tendencies. The country is watching." During a congressional hearing, before the decision was announced, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth refused to comment on whether he would follow a court order regarding the deployment of National Guard members when asked by a Democratic congressional member. But Hegseth claimed that the U.S. should not have local judges determining foreign policy or national security policy for the country, The Hill reports. The lawsuit was filed before President Trump later deployed around 700 U.S. Marines to the streets of Los Angeles, along with thousands of National Guard members. But Judge Breyer made clear in his finding that an injunction restraining the president's use of military force in Los Angeles is in the public interest, he wrote. Regardless of how the appellate court rules, the case is almost certainly to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court that will ultimately have the final decision. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego lawmakers reacted with fury over the recent armed ICE raid on a popular South Park restaurant. The legislators accused the federal government of heavy-handed tactics in support of arbitrary arrest goals, Times of San Diego reports, at a press conference outside the federal courthouse downtown. Congressman Juan Vargas asked, "Why were ICE agents armed to the teeth as if they were entering a war zone, storming restaurants?" Vargas was joined by congressional members Mike Levin, Sarah Jacobs, and Scott Peters, as well as Mayors Todd Gloria of San Diego and Paloma Aguirre of Imperial Beach, city council members, and other lawmakers. Vargas criticized federal magistrate Judge Karen Crawford for signing the warrant leading to the raid, and demanded a meeting with her boss, Judge Cynthia Bichant, who became chief judge in January. On May 30th, ICE raided the popular Buona Forchetta restaurant, filled with Friday evening dinner customers. Some 20 to 25 armed agents handcuffed the entire staff while looking for 19 employees named in the warrant. Eventually, four were removed for not having identification, including three Mexicans and a Colombian, according to Vargas. When a crowd outside the restaurant tried to push back to stop the ICE detentions, agents released flashbang devices. A sealed warrant and its supporting affidavit have been released, revealing that the warrant was based on a four-year-old tip. The tipster claimed that the restaurant's owner was knowingly employing both undocumented immigrants and individuals not authorized to work in the United States. The tipster claimed the owner was exploiting these employees by having them work 12 to 24-hour shifts with no breaks. On May 22nd and 23rd, ICE began active surveillance of the restaurant, more than 4 years after the tipster first contacted Homeland Security. According to the court documents, agents identified a number of employees they believed were violating immigration laws, including one man whom the affidavit says used fraudulent identity documents to gain employment at Buona Forchetta. Congressman Peters noted how scary it must have been to be guests having dinner at the restaurant, watching armed ICE agents sweeping in from all sides. He said, People must have thought, wow, there must be MS-13 here, or some drug kingpin, maybe someone like El Chapo's at the bar. But no, they took four people away, dishwashers, busboys, maybe a cook. Levin believes the issue lies with Washington and the Trump White House. He noted that Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller is putting pressure on ICE, demanding 3,000 people to be arrested daily by government agents. Congressmember Levin says setting an arbitrary quota is what created a mess like what we saw on Friday, and it will continue unless we all speak out against it. Congressmember Jacobs said, "The immigration and enforcement tactics we've seen in San Diego have crossed a new line. This isn't about going after criminals. They're going after people who are trying to do the right thing and people who are contributing to our economy." The raid upset the usually quiet neighborhood, where the community has been very supportive of the restaurant. The business issued a statement indicating, "We are heartbroken," adding that the incident left a mark on us. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
In a shocking action, California's U.S. Senator Alex Padilla was forcibly dragged out of a press conference in Los Angeles Thursday while trying to ask a question of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, right after Noem made the bizarre statement that troops were sent to liberate Los Angeles from socialist California leaders. Noem and conservative news outlets have falsely claimed that Padilla did not identify himself, but a video clearly shows that he did, as does this audio.
I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your heads off.
After Padilla was dragged out, the video shows him roughly wrestled to the ground, ordered to lie face down, and handcuffed by federal agents. His staff later confirmed that he was not arrested, but the incident has sparked outrage. A statement from Senator Padilla's office indicates the senator was in Los Angeles exercising his duty to perform congressional oversight of the federal government's operations in Los Angeles and across California, a reference to immigration enforcement that has led to protests in L.A. and President Donald Trump calling in the National Guard and U.S. Marines. Padilla, who formerly served as California's Secretary of State, is the son of Mexican immigrants and has been a vocal critic of the Trump administration's mass deportation policy and heavy-handed tactics deployed by ICE agents who have been rounding up immigrants even at churches and courthouses when they have shown up for immigration hearings. Padilla was in the federal building in L.A. to receive a briefing from a general and was listening to Noem's press conference, according to the press release from his office, when he tried to ask the question and was forcibly removed. In media interviews afterwards, Padilla said he and his colleagues have been asking Homeland Security for answers on immigration enforcement actions with little or no answers. As for his manhandling by federal agents during Secretary Noem's press conference, Padilla says, if this is how this administration responds to a senator with a question, if this is how Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country. He pledged, "We will hold this administration accountable." Homeland Security issued a statement later claiming Padilla chose disrespectful political theater and interrupted a live press conference without identifying himself or having his Senate security pin as he lunged toward Secretary Noem. Secret Service thought he was an attacker and officers acted appropriately. That statement lacks credibility, however, since video clearly shows Padilla identifying himself as Senator Alex Padilla and then stating he had questions. He does not appear to have lunged toward Noem and can be heard shouting, "Hands off," repeatedly as agents grab him, drag him into the hall, and order him to lie flat on the ground while handcuffing him behind his back. Padilla's aide, who filmed the encounter, has said he confirmed that Padilla was his boss, a U.S. senator, but agents handcuffed him anyway. The video that's gone viral ends after agents ordered the aide to stop filming. The treatment of Senator Padilla has been largely denounced by political leaders in both parties, though at least one Republican senator blamed Padilla for what ensued. Former Vice President Democratic nominee Kamala Harris posted on X, "United States Senator Alex Padilla was representing millions of Californians who are demanding answers to this administration's actions in Southern California. This is a shameful and stunning abuse of power." Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican from Alaska, told reporters, "It is shocking at every level. It's not the America I know." But Senator Lindsey Graham, also a Republican, asked reporters, "Was he disruptive? He got what he wanted," Axios reports. Republican Senator Susan Collins from Maine stated, "It looks like he's being manhandled and physically removed, and it's hard to imagine a justification for that." House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat, called Padilla a good man and principled public servant, adding, "The brazen and aggressive manhandling of Senator Padilla by the Trump administration is a sickening disgrace. Anyone who assaulted the senator should be held accountable. No one is above the law," Jeffries concluded. Governor Gavin Newsom called Padilla one of the most decent people I know. "This is outrageous, dictatorial, and shameful," the governor concluded, adding, "Trump and his shock troops are out of control. This must end now." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice.
No King's protests on Saturday, June 14th, are expected to draw millions of participants nationwide and locally thousands. The website No King's states, "They've defied our courts, deported Americans, disappeared people off the streets, attacked our civil rights, and slashed our services. The corruption has gone too far. No thrones, no crowns, no kings." San Diego County has 11 peaceful protests planned. The local protests are slated to be held in Carlsbad, Chula Vista, Del Mar, El Cajon, Escondido, Mira Mesa, Ramona, Rancho Bernardo, San Marcos, and two in downtown San Diego, including Civic Center Plaza and Waterfront Park. A press release from the organizer of the Escondido protest states, "Even as this press release is being written, this administration is sending National Guard troops and active duty military against American citizens protesting this administration's illegal and unconstitutional actions. This is exactly the type of tyrannical behavior that our founding fathers feared, one that many thought could never happen in this country." The Escondido rally, organized by We the People, Red, Wine, and Blue, Indivisible North County, San Diego, and 50501 Escondido, will take place at Grape Day Park with a press conference at 9:30, speakers at 10, and a march at 11. In East County, the El Cajon protest will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Magnolia and Fletcher Parkway. El Cajon has been a flashpoint for immigration issues since the city council voted 3-2 to allow El Cajon police to cooperate with federal immigration authorities within the limits of state law. A recall effort is underway against Councilman Phil Ortiz, who changed his vote to allow the measure to pass after it previously failed. The Ramona protests will be from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the southwest corner of 10th and Main Street. On Facebook, Jason Lynn on the Ramona Community Forum invited people to a Patriots party to protest against ICE and Trump's use of the National Guard in Los Angeles. The two protests in downtown San Diego both begin at 10 a.m. Again, those are at Waterfront Park and Civic Center Plaza. You can go to the website No Kings to find a protest near you and details, since the time varies with each location. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice.
With federal troops in the streets of Los Angeles and President Trump calling for the arrest of our state's governor, a move that even his Homeland Security Secretary says there is no reason for, Governor Gavin Newsom on June 11th gave a powerful speech warning that our democracy is now at a crossroads, threatened by unchecked authoritarianism. While calling on protesters to remain peaceful, the governor denounced the Trump administration's tactics, warned that other states are also at risk, and urged all Americans to take a stand for democracy and against the tactics of dictatorship. Here is the governor's speech in full.
I want to say a few words about the events of the last few days. This past weekend, federal agents conducted large-scale workplace raids in and around Los Angeles. Those raids continue as I speak. California is no stranger to immigration enforcement, but instead of focusing on undocumented immigrants with serious criminal records and people with final deportation orders, a strategy both parties have long supported, this administration is pushing mass deportations, indiscriminately targeting hardworking immigrant families, regardless of their roots or risk. What's happening right now is very different than anything we've seen before. On Saturday morning, when federal agents jumped out of an unmarked van near a Home Depot parking lot, they began grabbing people, a deliberate targeting of a heavily Latino suburb. A similar scene played out when a clothing company was raided downtown. In other actions, a U.S. citizen, 9 months pregnant, was arrested. A 4-year-old girl taken. Families separated. Friends quite literally disappearing. In response, everyday Angelenos came out to exercise their constitutional right to free speech and assembly, to protest their government's actions. In turn, the state of California and the city and county of Los Angeles sent our police officers to help keep the peace. And with some exceptions, they were successful. Like many states, California is no stranger to this sort of unrest. We manage it regularly and with our own law enforcement. But this, again, was different. What then ensued was the use of tear gas, flashbang grenades, rubber bullets, federal agents detaining people and undermining their due process rights. Donald Trump, without consulting California law enforcement leaders, commandeered 2,000 of our state's National Guard members to deploy on our streets, illegally and for no reason. This brazen abuse of power by a sitting president inflamed a combustible situation, putting our people, our officers, and even our National Guard at risk. That's when the downward spiral began. He doubled down on his dangerous National Guard deployment by fanning the flames even harder. And the president, he did it on purpose. As the news spread throughout LA, anxiety for family and friends ramped up. Protests started again. By night, several dozen lawbreakers became violent and destructive. They vandalized property. They tried to assault police officers. Many of you have seen the video clips of cars burning on cable news. If you incite violence, I want to be clear about this. If you incite violence or destroy our communities, you're going to be held to account. That kind of criminal behavior will not be tolerated. Full stop. Already more than 220 people have been arrested, and we're reviewing tapes to build additional cases, and people will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Again, thanks to our law enforcement officers and the majority of Angelenos who protested peacefully, the situation was winding down and was concentrated in just a few square blocks downtown. But that's not what Donald Trump wanted. He again chose escalation. He chose more force. He chose theatrics over public safety. He federalized another 2,000 Guard members. He deployed more than 700 active U.S. Marines. These are the men and women trained for foreign combat, not domestic law enforcement. We honor their service. We honor their bravery. But we do not want our streets militarized by our own armed forces, not in LA, not in California, not anywhere. We're seeing unmarked cars in school parking lots, kids afraid of attending their own graduation. Trump is pulling a military dragnet all across Los Angeles, well beyond his stated intent to just go after violent and serious criminals. His agents are arresting dishwashers, gardeners, day laborers, and seamstresses. That's just weakness, weakness masquerading as strength. Donald Trump's government isn't protecting our communities. They're traumatizing our communities. And that seems to be the entire point. California will keep fighting. We'll keep fighting on behalf of our people, all of our people, including in the courts. Just yesterday, we filed a legal challenge to Donald Trump's reckless deployment of American troops to a major American city. Today, we sought an emergency court order to stop the use of the American military to engage in law enforcement activities across Los Angeles. If some of us could be snatched off the streets without a warrant, based only on suspicion or skin color, then none of us are safe. Authoritarian regimes begin by targeting people who are least able to defend themselves, but they do not stop there. Trump and his loyalists, they thrive on division because it allows them to take more power and exert even more control. And by the way, Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th? Ask everyone. Take time. Reflect on this perilous moment. A president who wants to be bound by no law or constitution, perpetuating a unified assault on American traditions. This is a president who in just over 140 days has fired government watchdogs that could hold him accountable for corruption and fraud. He's declared a war on culture, on history, on science, on knowledge itself. Databases quite literally are vanishing. He's delegitimizing news organizations, and he's assaulting the First Amendment. And the threat of defunding them, at threat, he's dictating what universities themselves can teach. He's targeting law firms and the judicial branch that are the foundations of an orderly and civil society. He's calling for a sitting governor to be arrested for no other reason than to, in his own words, for getting elected. And we all know this Saturday, he's ordering our American heroes, the United States military, and forcing them to put on a vulgar display to celebrate his birthday, just as other failed dictators have done in the past. Look, this isn't just about protests here in Los Angeles. When Donald Trump sought blanket authority to commandeer the National Guard, he made that order apply to every state in this nation. This is about all of us. This is about you. California may be first, but it clearly will not end here. Other states are next. Democracy is next. Democracy is under assault before our eyes. This moment we have feared has arrived. He's taking a wrecking ball to our founding fathers' historic project. Three co-equal branches of independent government. There are no longer any checks and balances. Congress is nowhere to be found. Speaker Johnson has completely abdicated that responsibility. The rule of law has increasingly been given way to the rule of Don. The founding fathers, they didn't live and die to see this kind of moment. It's time for all of us to stand up. Justice Brandeis, he said it best. In a democracy, the most important office, with all due respect, Mr. President, is not the presidency. And it's certainly not governor. The most important office is office of citizen. At this moment, we all need to stand up and be held to account, a higher level of accountability. If you exercise your First Amendment rights, please, please do it peacefully. I know many of you are feeling deep anxiety, stress, and fear, but I want you to know that you are the antidote to that fear and that anxiety. What Donald Trump wants most is your fealty, your silence to be complicit in this moment. Do not give in to him.
This is John Tidwell with a health alert. Over 1.7 million eggs have been recalled due to an outbreak of salmonella in multiple states, including California, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control. The August Egg Company, based in California, issued the recall of brown eggs, including cage-free and organic eggs, that were distributed under over 24 brand names and sold through major retailers, including Walmart, Safeway, Food Max, Save Mart, Lucky, Smart and Final, Raley's, Food for Less, and Ralph's. The eggs had best buy dates as late as June 19th. The salmonella outbreak has sickened at least 79 people, including 21 who have been hospitalized. If you purchased brown eggs included in the recall, you can return it to the retailer for a refund. While most people recover from salmonella, severe cases may require hospitalization. The CDC reports that salmonella is a leading cause of foodborne illness, hospitalizations, and deaths in the United States and worldwide. About 1.35 million salmonella infections are reported every year in the U.S., according to the CDC.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
The largest residential project in Santee's history, Finita Ranch, was granted approval by the City Council in a 3-1 vote on June 11th, with Vice Mayor Rob McNellis recusing himself. It was the third time in 5 years the Santee City Council gave its approval to the project that will add nearly 3,000 houses to some 2,600 acres of open space in the city's northwest quadrant. Santee was challenged legally by a coalition of environmental groups twice before, including last year on the basis that the language in the city's environmental impact report was deficient. Santee's interim city manager, Gary Halbert, says those deficiencies were corrected and contained in a revised EIR that was approved. The city will provide these changes to the same Superior Court judge, Catherine Bacall, to get her approval. If she agrees the changes are legal, developer Homefed Rancho Finita can proceed with construction, Halbert says. Judicial review is dependent on the judge's schedule, but could take a few months. Van Collinsworth of Preserve Wild Santee, which has opposed the project from the outset and sued successfully in the past to block it, says he did not agree with the council's what he called scheme to avoid a public vote. Collinsworth adds that litigation is likely. Santee voters passed a ballot proposition in 2020, which mandated that any project which requires amending the general plan must go to a public vote. That was passed specifically by voters with Finita Ranch in mind. But in 2021, the Santee Council determined that Finita Ranch was an essential housing project to create much-needed homes and comply with new state mandates to increase the city's housing stock. So the council decided the project complied with the city's general plan and thus did not require any further action, including a public vote. 11 of the 16 people providing public comment at the June 11th hearing voiced strong sentiments against Finita Ranch, particularly on what they said was an inadequate evacuation plan in the event of a major wildfire and the enormous increase in traffic to an already heavily congested Santee. Rob Leholm testified, "We need to start from scratch, based on the catastrophic fires in L.A., and having the same limited escape routes. There will be deaths, just as there were in Pacific Palisades," he predicted. Eleanor Walsh told the council, "I have friends who lost their homes in Altadena." She believes 3,000 homes at the end of a street is just too much. Countering the criticism of the project's susceptibility to major wildfires, Dan Bickford said the fire-resistant materials used in construction will make Finita Ranch safer than anything that currently exists in Santee. Santee officials, including a fire department official and other staffers, said the project will have three improved access roads in the event of an emergency evacuation: Guiamaca Street, Finita Parkway, and an extended Magnolia Avenue, which will be facilitated by an enhanced notification system called Genesis in the event of evacuation. The project will also include improvements both to State Route 52 and local streets, and all those improvements have to be made before the developer starts selling homes, says city engineer Carl Schmitz. According to HomeFed, its plan includes 445 active adult units, but the price range of these and the remaining new houses was not disclosed. The project consists of about 1,200 single-family houses and around 1,750 condos. The actual development will occur in three separate villages, and over 62% of the land is designated as open space, including a working farm and a vineyard. It will also include a new fire station, assuming the judge allows it to go forward. Jeff O'Connor, HomeFed vice president, has previously said the developer would contribute $2.6 million to the city's affordable housing program and would designate 150 units as workforce housing that could be built either on-site or off-site. After the vote, O'Connor said he was pleased with the council's vote, adding, "When we can move forward, we will have four phases and a wide variety of price ranges depending on market conditions." Councilman Ron Hall cast the sole vote against Finita Ranch, saying the space buffers between the houses were inadequate, and he distrusted the fire department's conclusion that it was safe to build in a high fire hazard zone. He recounted the experience of seeing his brother's home in Ramona burn down in a 2007 firestorm. Hall's biggest concern was the city losing any control over making land use decisions to the state and forced to accept whatever plan it deemed right without any say. Councilwoman Laura Koval noted the large turnout at the meeting from residents opposed to the project. "Some people will never be in favor of this project, no matter what we say or do," she said. Councilman McNellis recused himself because his home is next to Magnolia Avenue, and he could financially benefit from a planned extension of that street. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego City Council has voted 7-2. To approve a budget that preserves activities at Lake Murray and other city-operated reservoirs and lakes, avoiding many previously threatened cuts to hours and days of operation. The action came after Friends of San Diego Lakes submitted a petition with over 8,500 signatures of residents opposed to a proposal to close Lake Murray on weekdays. There will also be no cuts to recreation center hours or park restrooms, and while city libraries will remain closed on Sundays, the budget reversed proposed Monday closures for 16 branches. The city's finalized budget is an increase of $48.4 million in expenditures from the draft budget approved in April, which Mayor Todd Gloria said needed to address a projected $258 million deficit. The budget for the upcoming fiscal year is just over $6 billion, though the mayor may veto some of the council's changes before the fiscal year starts on July 1st. City Councilmember Raul Campillo, whose District 7 includes Lake Murray, called the full restoration of the reservoir's access a win for thousands of San Diegans who made their voices heard loud and clear. We would not stand for this. Friends of the San Diego Lakes, a group that formed to protect and preserve public access to Lake Murray, Miramar Lake, Otay Lakes, Lake Hodges, El Capitan Reservoir, Barrett Lake, San Vicente, and Lake Sutherland, has been vocal for months to make sure the voices of those who frequent the lakes were heard. The Friends group and individuals from across the county delivered public testimony at Budget Review Committee meetings and started the online petition to save the lakes. Campillo called the budget changes a victory for District 7 and for lake users across the city. Mayor Gloria said previously that after voters did not pass Measure E last November, which would have increased the local sales tax by 1%, the city of San Diego had to adjust its budget to reflect that outcome. The city's budget shortfall has been projected to be a $1 billion deficit over the next 5 years. San Diego officials estimated that the additional revenue from the sales tax increase would have been from $360 to $400 million annually, designated for essential city services, including public safety, infrastructure maintenance, parks and libraries, as well as compensation for employees. In the approved budget, sources of revenue for the city have several changes, including charging non-residents to park in Balboa Park and at the San Diego Zoo, allowing digital advertising and billboards throughout the city, increasing credit card fees for city business, early debt payoffs, and leaving vacant management positions unfilled. During the budget discussion, the City Council also agreed on a plan offered by County Supervisor Tara Lawson Remmer to have the county cover the costs of beach fire ring maintenance. Stephanie Benvenuto, Vice President of Pacific Public Affairs, a group working with Friends of the San Diego Lakes, praised the incredible advocacy of the Lakes Coalition for reversing the proposed closures. But she concludes, "While we are grateful for this win, we remain committed to further discussions with the city to better fund the recreation programs and infrastructure that supports it." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Leaving behind a legacy of public service, longtime La Mesa Mayor Art Madrid passed away at age 90 in his La Mesa home on June 6th, according to his daughter, Lisa Madrid. His leadership shaped the city, earning admiration and respect from residents, businesses, and civic leaders around the region and across the country. Madrid was elected to public office in La Mesa 6 times, including 2 terms as a city council member from 1981 to 1990, and 4 terms as mayor, leading the city for nearly a quarter of a century, including during the city's centennial celebration in 2012. He previously served in the U.S. Marine Corps, including a stint in Korea, then spent 35 years working for Pacific Bell before entering politics. Barry Jantz, retired CEO from the Grossmont Healthcare District and former member of La Mesa City Council, where he served with Madrid for 16 years, says that despite some political differences, that grew into mutual respect and even friendship in more recent years. He was fun to be around and had a larger-than-life personality. There was never any doubt he had a great passion for his community and his fellow citizens. He had a huge heart for La Mesa, and he wasn't shy to vocally stand up and fight for his city. During his time running the city of La Mesa, Madrid also served as chair of the San Diego Association of Governments, or SANDAG, held roles on the League of California Cities, and led the California Council of Governments. His leadership extended to the State Fair Employment and Housing Commission, the Veterans Board, the San Diego Regional Airport Authority, and myriad other groups and organizations. born in New Mexico in 1934, Madrid moved to La Mesa in 1958 and then embarked on a career in public service that would span more than three decades. His political tenure ended in 2014 when Marco Rapostathis won the mayoral vote. Madrid was often critical of Rapostathis and most recently called the current mayor out for issues related to the riots that wreaked havoc in La Mesa in May 2020. In a statement to the media, Rapostathis said, "Art Madrid devoted his life to serving the people of La Mesa. His leadership left a lasting mark on our city. We are grateful for his many years of service and the legacy he leaves behind." Bipartisan tributes to Madrid have been pouring in since his passing. El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells says he was impressed by Madrid's fierce commitment to his community. Santee Mayor John Minto says he and Madrid got along well, even with some friendly competition between the two cities over which city was the best. He says Madrid cared deeply about the city in La Mesa and always tried to do the best he could to make La Mesa the best it could be. State Senator Steve Padilla issued this tribute to Madrid. "I had the pleasure to serve on the SANDAG board alongside him for many years and during that time developed a deep respect for his commitment to his community. He touched generations of La Mesans and San Diegans alike and leaves behind an enduring legacy." State Senator Aquila Weber posted on Facebook, "I am deeply saddened by the passing of former La Mesa Mayor Art Madrid. He was more than a public servant. He was a dear friend, a man of integrity, and someone who always stood up for what was right," Weber said. Weber says Madrid's leadership helped shape the city into what it is today, adding, "I will always remember Art for his courage, his wisdom, and his steady moral compass. His legacy will live on in the community he loves so much." Craig Maxwell, owner of Maxwell's House of Books in the La Mesa Village, had an unsuccessful mayoral bid to unseat Madrid in 2006. The two were fierce rivals for decades, but Maxwell says the two eventually came to terms with their disagreements, found some common ground, and that Madrid was a regular visitor to his shop. His ringtone was "Hail to the Chief," Maxwell says, laughing. He was a confident man. This reporter interviewed Art Madrid many times over more than two decades. He was a rarity among political leaders, willing to stand up for what he believed was right, even if that meant stirring up controversy or crossing party lines. He was a Republican who took stands to protect the environment, the dignity of homeless people, and to denounce hate speech. He once carried a torch during an equality run across East County for gay rights. As a full-time mayor devoted to his city, he frequently dropped by local businesses or knocked on doors of residents who had written to voice concerns on traffic or other issues. I recall him showing up at my parents' door once when they had written to complain about a traffic concern on their block. He was accessible to the media as well, often calling us with tips and willing to take a phone call and share his views. In a 2014 interview with East County Magazine, he cited passage of a bond measure that resulted in new public buildings, including a police station and library, among his greatest accomplishments, along with accessibility to the public. He told us, "Every weekend I drive through at least a quarter of our city to see what needs to be done and be responsive to the needs of the city." He estimated he worked 60 to 70 hours a week for what was officially a part-time job. "Accessibility is probably the most important thing that we have to offer as elected officials," he says. A man of strong convictions, Madrid often spoke on the importance of community inclusion and civic stewardship. Even after leaving office, he remained engaged by endorsing candidates, commenting on local issues in interviews and on social media, and also promised an autobiography at one time. Among his wins was helping other groups in the city. He was instrumental in keeping the pediatrics department at Grossmont Hospital open, says Allison Drew, who has been a pediatrics nurse for nearly 50 years. An environmental champion, Madrid was ahead of his time on sustainability, becoming the first mayor in San Diego to sign the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement and advance drought resilience efforts long before it became a popular thing to do. Madrid founded the Environmental Sustainability Commission in 2008, despite other city council members not supporting it, and he called himself our region's first green mayor. His legacy also includes transformative civic projects, including revitalization of the downtown village, updating Fletcher Parkway, creating the La Mesa Walk of Fame to honor volunteers, championing the installation of accessible elevators at the San Diego Trolley Station at Grossmont Center through a federal grant, and guiding nearly $21 million into the city's general fund surplus. In 1997, a publisher of a racist internet newsletter left literature defaming Mexicans on the lawn and stuck it into the door of Madrid's home after he had denounced the spray painting of the La Mesa Community Center. Madrid likened the perpetrators to animals that come slithering out of rocks and spew their venom at night. He told the San Diego Jewish Press Heritage that one piece of literature was a caricature of a person depicted as a Mexican and a greasy, sloppy person who needed a shave. Previously, someone pasted a sign on his door with a swastika and a skull and bones. Mayor Madrid did have one scandal during his tenure when police officers responded to a 911 call in 2008 and found him inebriated on the sidewalk near his Ford Explorer, which was pulled over close to his East Ridge area home with an intoxicated city employee in the driver's seat. Madrid was not charged with any crime, and he weathered the controversy to win re-election. Former La Mesa City Councilmember Christine Alicio, who started her service on the council in 2012, says she and Madrid initially butted heads over everything, but that as time went by, the two came to a mutual respect. She says Madrid stayed active in the community even after his time as mayor was over, including being an activist with Keep La Mesa Beautiful, which, among other things, stopped an initiative looking to place digital billboards along Interstate 8 near MacArthur Park. Alicio recalls that was probably his last big political push, stopping that digital billboard. That's something that future generations of La Mesans can be very thankful for, she says. Madrid was known for some bold initiatives. In 1994, he attracted national attention by pushing to publish the names and photographs of individuals arrested for prostitution, even putting names of Johns on billboards, which he said was aligned with a tough stance on community safety. Art Madrid is survived by 3 children and 3 grandsons. He was preceded in death by his son David Arthur Madrid, who passed in 1988 at age 18, and by his wife, Sally Lee Madrid, who died in 2003. His daughter, Lisa, says that less than a week before he passed away, Art Madrid visited David Madrid Field, a baseball diamond at the Lake Murray Little League Field at Sunset Park, dedicated since 2001 to David Madrid. He went there to check on a new sign honoring his late son. A celebration of Art Madrid's life will be held in July, with details to come. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ. This is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Tidwell with a Green Scene Report. San Diego County supervisors have approved the purchase of 540 acres in Santa Isabel for $5.1 million to expand its conservation efforts. Located in a designated conservation area in Santa Isabel, the land will expand an existing 6,900-acre preserve slated to protect habitat for sensitive species, including mountain lion, mule deer, Stevens kangaroo rat, and Engelmann oak. Parks and Recreation Director Jason Hemmons says, "Our team is very proud of this new addition to our park system, as it strengthens San Diego County's solid reputation for protecting natural resources and species that will be enjoyed for generations." The property is directly adjacent to the existing Santa Isabel Preserve and provides connectivity to public lands to the north. In addition to supporting the county's Climate Action Plan and General Plan update goals, the land acquisition enhances biodiversity and provides flood control benefits and protection of water quality.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Government agencies kill more than 1 million animals each year, primarily to protect livestock or endangered species, but criticism is mounting. In the old-growth forests of Northern California, Oregon, and Washington, the U.S. Geological Survey has shot more than 3,000 barred owls because they threaten the endangered spotted owl. USGS wildlife biologist David Weens says they've been successful in stabilizing spotted owls.
The science was quite clear that lethal control of barred owls did arrest the long-term population declines of spotted owls. However, we did not see an increase in spotted owl populations during the experiment.
This year, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is planning to scale up the program to a 30-year cull of barred owls. However, some experts say lethal control programs may do more harm than good. William Lin is an ethicist in the Marsh Institute at Clark University in Massachusetts and the founder of PanWorks, an animal ethics think tank.
It will not knock down the number of barred owls over time. It will just temporarily reduce the population loss amongst spotted owls that will continue to lose territory, continue to lose population as habitat destruction and development occurs.
Professor Jeremy Bruscotter with the Ohio State University in Columbus has studied changes in people's attitudes toward lethal control of animal populations. He says more people have come to see animals as morally relevant rather than as a resource to be exploited.
Non-lethal measures of control have 2 to 3 times more support than lethal measures of control on average. So people want others to start by trying to live with animals rather than just default to killing them.
In 2023, the Federal Department of Wildlife Services killed more than 1.4 million animals, including beavers, whose dams are blamed for flooding, double-crested cormorants, which pressure fisheries, and coyotes, which can prey on farm animals and pets. This story was produced with original reporting from Amy McDermott for the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
It's been a year since the death of NBA superstar and La Mesa hometown hero, Bill Walton, of cancer. To commemorate the anniversary, San Diego Sport Innovators, or SDSI, announced this week that it will pay homage to Walton, its former chairman, by launching the Walton Innovation Network, or WIN, WIN, as phase one of a Bill Walton legacy project. Under Walton's 14-year leadership as executive chairman, San Diego Sport Innovators has built a business community dedicated to growth of the San Diego lifestyle industry, embodying Walton's core attributes of humility, curiosity, giving, and reinvention. The organization aspires to help all individuals, not just San Diegans, get outside, get active, and lead healthier lives. Executive Director Bob Reif says the Walton Innovation Network will be an expansion of SDSI's current mentoring programs, dear to Bill's heart, into a network of programs dedicated to his legacy of uplifting others, hard work, and give back. The WIN Project will support entrepreneurs, innovators, athletes, and dreamers in all stages of business from the idea stage on up, who are changing the future of the industry, Reif adds. SDSI's business mentoring programs were built on Walton's mantra, "The best way to get where you are going is to ask someone who is on their way back." Through unique mentoring structures, SDSI mentor programs have helped to scale more than 150 businesses, 78% of which are still active or have been acquired. All of this has been made possible through the generosity of more than 100 volunteer executive mentors. Board member Mike Irwin says Bill's inherent curiosity about people is what made him such a natural helper. With the announcement of WIN, we are just getting started. And when it comes to preserving Bill's legacy, the future is full of possibilities. The sports and active lifestyle industry has a significant impact on our local economy, with $6.3 billion in total economic output, 57,000 local jobs, and $3.6 billion contributed to San Diego County's gross domestic product. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is Ed Barreno with East County Magazine on KNSJ with some grilling safety tips. July, August, and right into Labor Day, we use our barbecue grills more than any other months. Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna, East County Magazine's in-house fire chief and columnist, says that firefighters respond to many structure and wild land fires that involve barbecues around this time of year. He adds, quote, "We also treat many victims for injuries related to barbecues. Barbecue safety means sending the right smoke signal, and that signal is safety," unquote. While gas grills contribute to a higher number of home fires than their charcoal counterparts, all grills pose a risk for fires and burns. grills should be placed well away from the home and decks, far from under the eaves or overhanging branches and vegetation. Other grilling safety tips from the National Fire Protection Association are as follows. 1. Propane and charcoal grills should only be used outdoors. 2. Keep children and pets at least 3 feet away from the grilling area. 3. Keep your grill clean by removing grease or fat buildup from the grills and in trays below the grill. 4. Never leave your grill unattended. Always make sure your gas grill lid is open before igniting it. 5. If you smell gas while cooking, immediately get away from the grill and call the fire department. Do not move the grill. If the flame goes out, turn the grill and gas off and wait at least 15 minutes before relighting it. 6. When using a starter fluid, use only charcoal starter fluid. Never add any other flammable liquids to the fire. Keep charcoal fluid out of the reach of children and away from heat sources. When you are finished grilling, let the coals completely cool before disposing of them in a metal container. And finally, use common sense and grill safely.
No King's protests on Saturday, June 14th are expected to draw millions of participants nationwide and locally thousands. The website No King's states they've defied our courts, deported Americans, disappeared people off the streets, attacked our civil rights, and slashed our services. The corruption has gone too far. No thrones, no crowns, no kings. San Diego County has 11 peaceful protests planned. The local protests are slated to be held in Carlsbad, Chula Vista, Del Mar, El Cajon, Escondido, Mira Mesa, Ramona, Rancho Bernardo, San Marcos, and 2 in downtown San Diego, including Civic Center Plaza and Waterfront Park. A press release from the organizer of the Escondido protest states, even as this press release is being written, this administration is sending National Guard troops and active duty military against American citizens protesting this administration's illegal and unconstitutional actions. This is exactly the type of tyrannical behavior that our founding fathers feared, one that many thought could never happen in this country. The Escondido rally, organized by We the People, Red, Wine, and Blue, Indivisible North County, San Diego, and 50501 Escondido, will take place at Grape Day Park with a press conference at 9:30, speakers at 10, and a march at 11. In East County, the El Cajon protest will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Magnolia and Fletcher Parkway. El Cajon has been a flashpoint for immigration issues since the city council voted 3-2 to allow El Cajon police to cooperate with federal immigration authorities within the limits of state law. A recall effort is underway against Councilman Phil Ortiz, who changed his vote to allow the measure to pass after it previously failed. The Ramona protest will be from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the southwest corner of 10th and Main Street. On Facebook, Jason Lynn on the Ramona Community Forum invited people to a Patriots party to protest against ICE and Trump's use of the National Guard in Los Angeles. The two protests in downtown San Diego both begin at 10 a.m. Again, those are at Waterfront Park and Civic Center Plaza. You can go to the website No Kings to find a protest near you and details, since the time varies with each location. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice.